Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Listener-supported gospel radio for you. Doing a little worldview watch to close our morning, always trying to understand the world around us and apply our Christian faith to it. And there's almost no more, well, important, I don't know if I could say more important application than the mission of the church to have this gospel which we hear come out of our mouths again, and to not be afraid to make it come out of our mouths again in the presence of those who have not heard. Talk a little bit about how our synod and our seminaries are trying to address this reality, particularly with the decrease of Christianity in the cities in the United States. I have on the line with me Dr. Detlef Scholz, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, as well as their dean of graduate studies. And he is a contributor of a recent article to the seminary's promotional magazine For the Life of the World. It's a great little magazine. I believe they'll send it for you for free if you sign up, so you should. The article is titled, Make America a Mission Field Again. Pun intended, I think. Inner City Vicarages. Dr. Scholz, welcome to His Time.
Thank you for having me this morning.
So I'm going to jump right into it. Can you tell us what is already going on with inner city vicarages in congregations of the LCMS? So what are we already doing that's so cool?
Well, we have started to locate the inner cities and target them for a particular reason, and that is that we have been present in the inner cities, about decades ago, and have lost our presence there, and we want to recapture it. We want to return back into the inner cities with new audiences, new people around in the community, but still seeing that we have a task to address there. There are people who have been more or less abandoned and have become also from different ethnicities. So to think about inner cities is to think about a mission field again here in the United States, and not to, which is the general perception of our members, is still to think of mission as an international affair. And redirecting them to the inner cities within the United States is something that we need to do for the sake of our synod and its growth.
Kind of brings me to my next question, which I know the answer to this, but I think some people out there may not. I mean, aren't there already plenty of Missouri Synod congregations in the big cities in the U.S.?
Well, I mean, not so much anymore in a vibrant sense, you know. You could say there is a presence. From St. Louis itself, when you go up Grand Avenue up in north of the inner city, you will see there are big churches that have existed formerly as with a large membership, and now have decreased the numbers, you know, down to 30, 40 people on a Sunday worship. Those times where people went to church and from the neighborhood are over, and we try to return back to that idea a little bit. We also here in Fort Wayne have a church that left the inner city for a suburban location and left a big void in that community. So I don't think we necessarily have churches everywhere. If we had it, in the past, it's no longer the case because many churches have closed down.
I used to serve in the early suburbs of Philadelphia, and I remember Missouri Synod members who would move to the area from the Midwest would be surprised that at times in a city that big, you would need to drive an hour just to find any Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod church, let alone one that was vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true. I mean, we do have a large number of inner city churches still, but they are commuting churches, so you have people from the outside, from the suburban areas coming in, and the neighborhood around there is untargeted. So we have to think more along those lines. Some churches that have not done so in the past have maybe lost their credibility, but with our vicarage assignments now targeting these churches that have a dwindling number or struggling, we want to, with a subsidized program from the Synod itself, we want to instill in the pastors, future pastors, that is our current students, a sense of obligation to go to areas also in the United States that are not as easy to minister to as perhaps they would anticipate of a regular call. And these conditions that they are to face can be brought to their attention right now during the formational training. So I think that's what we are doing with this very program of inner city vicarages.
So is the idea that you're going to send a vicar to a place where there is a pastor working in the inner city in order to expose the vicar to that, or is the vicar kind of being sent out sort of on his own?
No, we don't like the idea on the own. I mean, you can't just have, you know, kind of Jonah went on his own, but you know what happened, you know. We try to do it differently. We want to work with current congregations, send the vicar in there, and work kind of from the base of that existing congregation, but then also to see what communal work is being done. And there's great work in the synod. You know, we have areas in Milwaukee, we have in Columbia, in Ohio, in Baltimore. We have various areas where we can go and send students to, because we see there already some work done that we would like to be replicated all over the synod and inner cities.
And when you say work, I mean, and you mentioned earlier congregations that are commuter congregations. Another memory I have from Philadelphia is one city congregation that was entirely made up of people that didn't live in that community anymore. They all lived in the suburbs. They all drove into this church because it was their historic congregation. And the church itself was surrounded by a wall with barbed wire on top of the wall. And they would drive in behind that. And there was almost no engagement with the community around them. My question is, how does that happen? How do you get to that point? And is there even really a way to stop that or to turn it around?
That's precisely the difficult question, I would say. Well, the first thing you should know is that there are people still in that community. It's not like it's vacant, you know, and nobody lives there. It's just that the people that are in the community are incongruent with the membership of that current church there, because they are commuting to it. They don't have a sense of relationship with those around there. That has come about through some historic circumstances, the 50s, 60s, 70s, where they all left for the suburban areas. So that vacuum was then filled by other ethnicities. So the challenge is now to think about reaching out to these people who have a different background, ethnically speaking, culturally speaking, and to ask ourselves, can we do so without in any way having to be forced to change our liturgy tradition, our worshiping style, or can we be kind of reciprocal in our relationship, assimilate them also down the line, offer our churches as buildings, as a haven, or as a worship setting, hosting them in such a way that we slowly but surely start to pick up contact with such people. Also, you know, I mean, many people are against the idea of identifying needs, but, you know, there are certain people with certain needs, and we need to open up the pastor's eyes and that existing congregation to those very needs. And, of course, never to forsake the gospel itself as the prime reason for being there and to reach out to them. But there are certain people with certain concerns, anxieties, fears, which would love to have a church address them. It's just a matter of whether we can do that and are willing to do it across a ethnic and cultural and often language barrier.
So much of it is that question of, are we willing to do that? And yeah. In my experience also, this often becomes, are we willing to lose money? Are we willing to put something out there that we're not going to get necessarily paid back for? On that, you can follow that train if you want, or if you have an example or a story or one of your favorite kind of things you've already seen happening. You mentioned Baltimore, you mentioned Milwaukee. Can you put some meat on the bones of what's going on?
Yes, I can. For example, I don't want to go into very close specifics here of naming a church, but I'll go so far as to say, for example, in Lincoln, Nebraska, a church had always been active overseas. They had short-term volunteer projects going on. The resources they gathered, they used for themselves to go overseas, have these two-week stints annually. They suddenly, you know, on one day when they had an excursion outside of the city, the bus driver took the wrong corner, you know, and led them back to church through an area of Lincoln that they never had seen before as a church. Then suddenly they realized, man, this looks like an area we should focus on. And they decided then to reroute all those resources that they had for overseas short-term experiences to that very neighborhood and to help it there. This is kind of what I'd like to see happen, where we are using our resources wisely and not as we are currently doing, and we share this experience with all other denominations in the U.S., that we are predominantly seeing our mission resources being spent overseas, outsourced to some other country. We need to reconfigure ourselves around the idea that we have certain areas within our within the North America U.S. setting that are just as much a mission field and in need of these resources.
So when you say make America a mission field again, what you mean is it already is and it's time to wake up.
It is, yeah. It is already there. And certainly we as a synod, you know, have an obligation to the gospel and to look around where we can do that. I'm not going to say there's a magic pill now. I mean, we have to think about adult baptisms, about, you know, reaching out to these various ethnicities. For example, I mean, if you think about Eritreans have settled in Phoenix and in Dallas. We have certain people who serve as pastors there. They are not part of our denominations, but have approached pastors in Phoenix as well as in Dallas to use their church. Now, pastors should know this. Our vicars, you know, who go to inner cities will realize that this is now an opportunity to host such a ministry. And through such hosting, it actually has happened that some of these ethnic groups have joined our synod. So there are ways of being implementing inner city work. There is not one magic pill here. One needs to live within the context and determine then how the best way to go forward.
My guest, Pastor Dr. Detlef Schultz, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of a recent article in For the Life of the World magazine. Thanks for being with me today, Dr. Schultz.
Thank you for having me.
There's no end to it. The church needs to be about her mission because her mission is who we are. God has spoken to us, we speak again, and those around us are in need no matter who they are, no matter how different they might be. It's good news, Christian, to tell people out there who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's coming again to do, and he is coming again. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.